Right, well, it's good to be back with y'all this morning. Hope everybody had a good Christmas and got lots of presents, all that fun stuff. Excuse me. All right, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. If you're glad you saved this morning, say amen. Excuse me. All right, we'll be in Matthew chapter 2. We'll begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, as we come to you again, I want to thank you, Lord, for loving us and dying for us. Thank you for being born of a virgin in such a lowly estate as you were. And thank you, Lord, for living without sin, being crucified for our sins, and raising up again 3 days later. I ask that you please set your power upon the service. Use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, we all know Christmas is over, right? Glory to God. No more Christmas music. I don't mind Silent Night, but Jingle Bells get on my nerves on Magic 96.5. My wife has it running nonstop, and I can't stand it. So glory to God, that's over with, right? Well, look, we all know what Christmas entails. You could go to the Charlie Brown Christmas show, and he's like, "This can't be what Christmas is all about." Right, Linus? And they going on, "Oh, Christmas can't be about going and buying presents and about this and that." And at the end of the show, they find that Christmas is indeed about the birth of Christ and how he was sent from God above, and he was born of a virgin. He lived without sin. He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again 3 days later and offered salvation to all that would call upon his name. We understand that Christmas is to be typified of the birth of Christ, right? We understand that Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. It's simply the day that we recognize his birth, okay? If you look back, you'll find he was actually born in September or October. All right, that's just a little side nugget for you. Ah, we know that the wise men brought gifts from the east, and the Christmas that we know today is supposed to be typified of those gifts being brought from the wise men to Jesus Christ, because they recognized him as the Savior of the world. And so today we give gifts to those that we love. We give gifts to those that we don't love because we're trying to buy some influence, right? You give gifts to your boss and you can't stand him, or you give gifts to your mother-in-law and she gets on your nerves. Right? Whatever it might be. Not my mother-in-law. Okay? Never her, baby. Never her. All right. You get gifts for everybody. Well, that's supposed to be a tip, a representation of what took place over 2,000 years ago. Gifts are bought for everyone. We could go around the room today and say, "Hey, what'd you get your kids for Christmas?" And someone would say, "I got them a bicycle," or "We got them a dollhouse or a playhouse," or "Got them a Red Ryder BB gun so they can shoot their eye out." "We got them this or that." "Well, what'd you get your wife for Christmas?" "Oh, I got her a purse, and I got her this and that, and I gave her a day without the kids, and I'm going to watch them all day long." "What'd you get your husband?" "Well, I got him a new rifle." Man, if you did, you good, okay? My wife gave me $100 toward a new rifle. Glory to God. All right. You got a new rifle or you got a pair of socks. Everybody gets socks for Christmas, right? Whatever. You give gifts to everybody. But what did you give Jesus for Christmas this year? Now then, we celebrate Christmas to be about the birth of Christ. The little girl said earlier, it was Jesus' birthday. She's right. That's what we celebrate it for, right? So, anybody say happy birthday, Jesus? What did he get for his birthday? So often we're real quick to give other folks stuff, and yet the one that gave us his life, we ain't so quick to give him anything. So I found some things that we could give him for Christmas. Number one, we can give him our time. The Bible says over in Colossians chapter 4, 5, it says redeeming the time, right? Man, you can't give nobody any better gift than your time. I can't give my wife any better gift than my time. I went and I bought her a purse that carries a gun in it, and you can hide it so y'all don't mess with her, all right? She packing. So now then, the last one, the strap broke. She wanted a new one. I went and got her that purse. Buddy, I'm glad she's got that purse because she works up in Birmingham. You know, there's a bunch of nuts around there. Some nut comes around my wife, they going to be finding something they weren't expecting, right? The other end of a muzzle. As great as I feel like that gift was, can't be no better than my time spent with her. I went and I bought her a cookbook so she can make me some stuff, right? No, she asked for it. She really did. I went and I bought her a cookbook, and I noticed, I thought I'd done pretty good. I recognized which TV show she liked to watch the most so she could bake something and try to recreate whatever they made on the TV show. I went and got her that British cookbook, and I'm like, now then she can make me some pretzels or whatever, right? It's twofold. It's a gift for me and a gift for her. Got her a cookbook. She was so excited. I'd done good, okay? But that cookbook has nothing on time. I can give my dad all sorts of hunting stuff. None of it is anything close to the time that we can spend together or the time that you spend with your parents or with your children or with your spouses. What about the time spent with the Lord? Now then, the Bible says over in James 4:14 that life is even as a vapor which appeareth for a little while and then vanishes away. One day, we're going to drop this robe of flesh and we're going to be sitting with Jesus full time, right? But one thing you can't do no more is walk by faith and give him your time by faith. We'll be walking by sight. And glory to God for it. I can't wait. I get chill bumps thinking about walking up and there he sits on the throne. And I can spend the next million years just worshiping the Lord, right? And then I can spend another year, a million years, singing praises to him. Another million years just doing whatever he wants me to do. He says, go fetch a cup of water from the river of life. And here I go, and I'm back at Jesus' feet, right? Man, ain't nothing going to be no better than that. But what are you doing for him right now? Up there, there'll be no more sin. There'll be no more flesh. Won't be any work involved with working with the Lord, right? There won't be no more sacrifice in it because time will no longer exist. So, can you give him your time then? No. But our time right now is precious because in the last 5 minutes that's rolled by, we ain't never getting it back. It's gone for all eternity. You can only press forward. That the last 5 seconds are gone for all eternity. The next three will be gone just shortly. We can give him our time. We have nothing else so precious to us as our time. And yet we give it to Larry King. We give it to CNN. We give it to Fox News. We give it to the Outdoor Channel. We give it to the Racing Channel. We give it to whatever it is you watch on television. We'll give it to Netflix, and we'll give it to any other Disney Plus, and we'll give it to Hulu, and we'll give it to all sorts of TV recreation, right? Sit there and spend 3 and 4 hours just watching the tube, and you'll spend 30 minutes scrolling. There ain't nothing on. Oh, well, I guess I'll settle with this rerun I've watched 1,500 times already. You sit down, you watch Bonanza. It's the same episode they show on TV Land every other week. But you're going to sit down and devote an hour to watching old Ben Cartwright go and fix something. and Virginia City. And you already know what the end's going to be. What about the time spent with the Lord? You could spend time with Him praying. The Bible says, praying always. It says, to pray without ceasing. And yet, how many of us can even say we've devoted a full 5 minutes to it? Devoted 5 minutes to prayer. How many of us can say we've devoted 15 minutes to prayer? We sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and yet, buddy, Christians lie all over the nation today singing Sweet Hour of Prayer. They ain't never prayed for an hour. I forget who said it, but he said, Christians never lie except in song. Sweet Hour of Prayer, that draws me from a world of care. Right? And yet we don't know nothing about it. It's more like, Sweet 3 minutes of prayer that eases my conscience so I can go to sleep in just a little while. Right? We could give Him some prayer. We can talk to Him. I don't know about you. I like being talked to every now and then. I like it when me and my wife are riding in the car and we're talking and she ain't sleeping. Right? Because then I know I ain't going to fall asleep and kill us both. I enjoy talking about all sorts of random things. I enjoy talking about hunting, and I know she hates it. And she enjoys talking about work, and I have no idea what she's talking about. Right? But I like sitting there knowing, hey, we're having a conversation, and it's me and my wife, and we're just enjoying each other's company. Though I don't understand nothing about insurance, glory to God she does, and she brings home a check from it. Amen. She don't understand nothing about hunting a saddle or fishing on a point. But glory to God, I do. And she'll sit there and say, oh, really? Wow. She tries to act like she's interested. I know she's lying, but she tries. That's why we're preaching online this morning. We can spend time talking to the Lord. You know, you ain't always got to go to Him with a petition. It ain't got to always be, Lord, I need $100 to pay my power bill. What about right now? Do you need a... currently need $100 to pay your power bill? Or could you instead sit there and say, Lord, I just want to thank You for being so good to me. Lord, I just want to thank You for giving me my family that I have. They drive me nuts, but thank You, Lord, for them. They've influenced my life in ways I never imagined. Looking back on it now, I see how You work through them for me. Even the ones that aren't so great, the ones that I'd really rather not be around, You use them to influence me in a way that draw me closer to You. And I thank You for it. Lord, you know what? I'm going hunting here in a little while, and I'd like to feel Your presence just for a minute while I'm sitting in that tree stand. Lord, I'm going over here to man-laws, and I really want Your help getting through this one because, buddy, it's tough, right? Lord, I just want to talk to You. You know, I'm going down here to work, and let's see, I got to do this, this, and that. And Lord, You know I forget everything. Lord, You're going to have to help me remember something. We ain't got to talk to Him about, Lord God, I need $100. My head hurts, Lord, please relieve the pain. Glory to God, I do that. I hope you do too. It says to you have not because you ask not. I ask Him for $1 million every now and then just to make sure. Right? Be like, Lord, You said You have not because You ask not. Well, I'm asking for $1 million. Now then, if You don't want to give it to me, that's Your business. But I don't want to get to heaven and find out I could have had it. Right? So Lord, please, if You got $1 million laying around, I'd like it. If there's an old rich uncle I don't know about way on down the line, and he's going to leave it to his next of kin, I'd like that to be me. Right? Why not? I ain't saying don't ask Him to help your headache. I ain't saying don't ask Him to help you with whatever's going on with your bills and everything else. But you know, you can talk to Him about more than that. You can talk to Him about more than heartache. You can sit there and thank Him for a while. You could spend all eternity thanking Him and never, never come close to thanking Him for all that He's done for you. We can also spend time with Him in His book. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now then, the Bible, as I heard it defined, is God's revelation of Himself to man. So God reveals Himself to us through that book. Right? Pretty good definition of it. Also heard that it's an acronym for basic instructions before leaving earth. Well, why don't we just pick that book up, People all the time say, well, I just wonder what God's like. Well, why don't you pick up the book and it'll tell you. It'll tell you He's just. It'll tell you He's kind, that He loves you, and that He died for you. Right? And it'll also tell you that He's a jealous God, and He's a God of judgment, and He's also a God of wrath. Right? You'll find everything you want to know about Him in these 66 books. But nobody wants to pick it up and take the time to read it. And don't take just a minute. Look, you're going to fight your flesh over it. I understand that. But I fight my flesh over going to my daddy-in-law's house. As I imagine y'all do too. Maybe not your daddy-in-law, maybe your mother-in-law, or your sister-in-law, your brother-in-law, whoever it is. Or maybe it's just some neighbor down the road. Right? You fight your flesh over that. Why don't you fight your flesh to read and find out something from the Lord? People will say, oh, well, the pastor just ain't feeding me like he's supposed to. I guess it's time to go on down the road to Church of the Highlands where they just feed me a whole bunch of malarkey all week and tell me what a wonderful person. Make me smile like Joel Osteen from ear to ear. And old brother Pastor Chris just going to make me feel like $1 million and tell me that my fornicating and my adulterating and every other kind of sin I got is fine and that Jesus loves me anyway. Right? Well, you can't expect a man of God to feed you like you're supposed to be fed in 3 services. There's 5 other days in the week. You got to feed yourself. Look here, I can go to Longhorn, and I love that outlaw ribeye. It's about as big as your face, and it's so good. And I can order an outlaw ribeye, or they can bring it to me for free. And they can set it down in front of my face and say, that thing smells good. Oh, I love it. Oh, there's a sweet potato with cinnamon and butter and marshmallows on it too. Man, all alive. And look at here, we got us a Texas onion thing. That's what I'm talking about, or boom boom shrimp. I love it. And I can look at it and my mouth can start watering. Oh man, it's awful good. I can look at it all day and it ain't going to do me any good until I pick up a fork and I start cutting on it and feed myself. Right? Now then, the meal was provided. But I have to pick it up and eat it. The meal has been provided on Sundays and on Wednesdays. But you've also got to feed yourself. It's there, but you got to put it in your mouth and eat it. How about giving Him some time for His birthday? Number 2, we can give Him our talent. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, and verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now then look, the Lord has given everybody some sort of skill. And you might not be the best at it, but He's given you the ability to do something. Right? He might have given you the ability to speak to people. He did not give that one to me. He might have given you the gift of gab. That really is a gift, being able to walk up and talk to a wall and strike up a conversation with it. Sometimes I envy people like that. I can't do it. I have to walk by and say, hey, how you doing? And I go to my seat, right? Because unless it's about hunting or fishing or Jesus Christ, I just can't pull one out of my hat, you know? I can't talk about cars. I can't talk about nothing else. I have a hard time finding where to throw it in there, right? Unless Brother Gene says, boy, I saw a huge buck on the way to church today. I'll say, really, how big was it? What did it score, brother? You reckon it was 130, 140, 150, right? What was it looking like? You reckon you could have just ba-doom, and got that joker? I'll go cut the back straps out for you next time, brother. You just do that, okay? Y'all think I'm kidding. I was deployed in Romania. I made rednecks out of everybody I was stationed with. I had them chasing down jackrabbits and pheasants, and we got one of each with a Ford Ranger. Didn't even need a gun. Everyone's given a set of talents. There's even a parable about the talents, right? And I understand that the parable about talents is about money. And everyone's given, someone's given a talent, another 5 talents, another 10. Some of them went and invested their talents, and then the one buried his in the ground. And he came back to the Lord and said, well, I didn't do nothing with it because I was scared of you. And He said, come on, man. You knew what kind of man I was, and yet you went hit it anyway. Well, you can spiritualize that and say, He's given you some sort of talent. Now then, what are you doing with it for Him? I know a man right this second who can play the snot out of a guitar. He can play the snot out of a banjo, out of a mandolin, anything with strings. He'll walk into church. He'll tune it up. He'll sit there and play "Just As I Am" to himself and then put it in his guitar case and lock it up before church gets started. Now then, what good is that doing him or the Lord? Right? He ain't using it for Jesus Christ. How's he going to stand before judgment knowing, hey, and the Lord say, "I gave you a talent to play instruments and you did nothing with it." Right? Some are talented with gab. I have a friend who's from Guam. That joker can talk to a wall. And he can lead souls to the Lord like nothing I've ever seen. I've probably told you about him before. I've watched him with my own eyes walk up to people and say, "Hey, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. How that you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. But he's offering salvation to you. All you got to do is accept it." I mean, just that straightforward. I go talk to somebody, I got to be like, go through the steps. "Hey, how you doing? Man, that's a nice deer on you all. Yeah, man, I like your boat in your yard. That's nice. Hey, you go to church anywhere? Oh, really? You go to Church of God. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, did you get saved at that Church of God? I got to go through a big old long string of conversation starters to get to where I'm going." He'll walk straight up to him. "Hey, man, you're going to go to hell without Jesus. Don't you want him?" And they'll bow the knee and get born again right there in the middle of a trash heap. Right? I ain't seen nothing like it, but the Lord gave him a talent and he uses it. He gave him the gift of gab and the ability to walk up and use conversation however the Lord sees fit, and he uses it for Jesus Christ. You'll find others that's been given a gift of whatever. I don't really have no special skills. I've told you all this before. I can paint a house and it looked pretty decent. And I can hold a flashlight. That's it. I can't work on your car. If you break down on the side of the road, I can pull up behind you and turn on my flashers and wait on somebody who's got some skill to pull up and help you out, right? Or if it's at night and you broke down, I can hold the flashlight while you figure out what's wrong under the hood. I can change your tire for you, and that's as far as my mechanical skills go. I can't help you out with none of that. Painting houses is as far as it goes. I can somewhat hunt and I can somewhat fish, just enough to keep myself fed. And that's going to be the sum of that. I found, though, that the Lord, with those little bit of talent, just that little tiny bit, I can still use it for Him. I can go out. Somebody's in trouble, I can hold a flashlight. Somebody got to hold it. Might as well be the person who don't know how to fix it, right? "Hey, brother, where you need it? Up, down, sideways? Okay. There you go, Brother Hunter. Fix that AC." Right? Comes to hunting or fishing. Got somebody trying to lead to the Lord, somebody new in Christ, you can take them hunting or fishing and say, "Hey man, we ain't going to catch a whole lot, but we can go. We can go gig some frogs. We can go shoot some cottonmouths," right? Have a grand old time, talk about the Lord while we're doing it. Just a little tiny talent. Ain't worth nothing in the scope of just being able to do something with it, but the Lord can use it. He can use your talent, whether you can sing, whether you can speak to people, whether you're mechanically inclined, whether you're just good at maintenance around the house of God. The Lord can use it if you'll just allow Him to. That scared me. Whew, glory to God. All right, it's been a while since I've done CPR. It's like, I'm going to forget all this stuff. I just told y'all I ain't very talented. All right. Yeah, he was. All right. So we can give the Lord our time. We can give Him our talents. We can give Him our tithe. Bible says over in Malachi chapter 3, it says, "Can man rob God, yet ye have robbed me? Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings." Now then, nobody likes to hear tithing preached on, right? I get it. Everybody's like, they just after the money. That ain't the case. You see, the Lord don't need your money. You need to give Him your money. Right? Bible says that He opens up clouds of blessings for you. Right? Man, no, He don't need it, but why don't you give it to Him? He's already given you His life. He died on the cross for your sins. Right? Why not give Him 10%? It's a dime off of every dollar. It's a dollar off of every 10. 10 off of every 100. 100 off of every 1,000. I think you can live without that 10%. Right? Amen. I have found that Christians who are struggling the most in their Christian walk, and those that are struggling the hardest in with their finances most of the time, are those who have not tithed. Because you can't outgive God. Right? Now, I ain't telling you, you go and give Him $1 million, He's going to give you 5. No, that's some junk they make up on TV. You send me your $100 and I'll send you a prayer cloth and we'll get you, it'll be restored unto you 15-fold. Well, really, if that's the case, well, why don't you get it restored 15-fold by sending me $100? Right? I mean, man, you'd think people would catch on to that. Excuse me. Well, we can give Him our tithe. It ain't hard. It ain't much. But He's deserving of it. Now then, I ain't saying you go and you give Him your tithe. That way you can earn some sort of plus one with the Lord, right? Or you can earn some sort of extracurricular blessing. That's not what I'm saying. You do it because He died for you. You do it because He loved you. Because He offered Himself for you freely. And He gave you salvation. You don't have to go to hell no more because of Him. So why not give Him a tithe? Why not? And then finally, we can give Him our things. Now then, the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26. It says, "For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." When it says the fullness thereof, it means everything in it. Okay? That means that the apple trees growing in your yard are the Lord's. The earth is, and the fullness of it. The apple trees are His. The peach trees, they're His. The brick that was used to make your home is His. The rock that was used to make your foundation is His. The air that you breathe is His. Everything's His already, right? The materials it took to make your rifle is His. The materials it took to make your fishing pole is His. Materials it took to make that hook to put a worm on it and try to catch a little bluegill, it's His. And the worm is His. Why not offer it up to Him? Right? You might have a house. You say, well, it's just a little two-bed, one bath. Well, all right. You can go in, you can say, Lord, all I got is a two-bed, one-bath house, but it's Yours, and you can use it however you see fit. And watch how the Lord will use it. You might be feeding folks from church inside that little two-bed, one-bath house. You might be leading folks to Christ in that little two-bed, one-bath house. Right? And you say, well, I just got a little old piece of worthless 72 acres. It's just swamp on one side and rock on the other. I got it. I got it, and I'm not bragging on myself. It's to make a point. When I went down there, I said, Lord, it's Yours. You allowed me to purchase it, and I give it back to You. May souls be saved on it. May it be a help in however You see fit. I didn't see how He could take swamp and rock and use it for anything He would see fit. But I got a man at church who lost his place to hunt. And he just enjoys hunting. He can't kill nothing. He's horrible at it. Right? I'm talking about if he were shooting at me from front row, he'd miss. He'd hit the piano somehow. But the Lord's allowed me to let him go down there just to get away from everything. Just enjoy time away. Everybody likes time away, right? I don't sit in a tree because it's freezing cold. I sit in a tree because I like to get away from everything for just a little bit and hopefully shoot something while I'm there. He's allowed me to take folks that are lost down there, and I get to tell them the gospel. Now then, all it is just, I mean, if y'all saw it, you'd say, man, there ain't no deer down here. There ain't a whole lot. Nope. There ain't no fish in that creek. I ain't caught but three. And it's a big old creek. And I can normally catch more than that. Okay? But the Lord can use it. Same way He can use your kitchen appliances. Same way He can use your refrigerator. Same way He can use your money. Same way He can use everything else. If you'll just give it to Him. But now you can be stingy and sit there and hold on to it and say, you'll never have my child. You'll never have my land or my home. You'll never have this or you'll never have that. I'll give you everything, Lord, except for this. I'm holding on to this one right here. You're missing out yourself because you don't know what the Lord could have done with it. Right? Now then, the Bible says over in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, and we're going to close. Acts 20, 35. Bible says, I have shown you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if you think about that for just a second, Jesus Christ said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And who else has given more than anyone that we can think of but Jesus Christ? He gave His life. He gave liberty to me and you. He gave salvation. He gives all sorts of unspeakable gifts. We woke up this morning, we're able to walk to our cars, get in our nice cars and drive down to the church house and hear the Word of God preached. He's given us His Word that we can hold in our hand. Buddy, He's given us unspeakable gifts, things that we can't eat. I believe it'd be about like John said, if you were to write down all the gifts you've been given, every single one of them, not just the big ones, but even the little ones, there wouldn't be enough books in this room that could hold all that the Lord's done for you. He says, more blessed to give than to receive. He's already given us so much. Why don't we give just a little bit more back to Him? We can give Him our talents. We can give Him our time. We can give our tithe. We can give just our things that's laying around the house. You can give Him your weed eater, right? And the Lord can use it to cut the grass around this church. You can give Him your lawnmower, and Lord, use it to cut some person's grass that you can't, that they can't get out and do it no more. Amen. You can give Him your time, and He'll bless you with fellowship. He'll bless you with service. You can give Him your talent, and there's no telling how He can use it because He's God. What did Jesus Christ get for Christmas this year? Right? We got all sorts of things. We gave all sorts of things. But what did we give Jesus? What kind of birthday did He have? Somebody would come and play just a hymn of invitation.